Thank you, Dr. Patton, for that introduction. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Again, my name is Dustin F. Lewis. I'm a doctoral student at North Carolina State University studying turfgrass weed science. Today, I would like to share you a presentation entitled An Intercollegiate Approach to Quantifying Sulfonylurea Herbicide Movement on the Cool Season Turf. I'd like to start today's presentation by giving you a brief outline. I'll begin with an introduction while I introduce the practice of perennial ryegrass overseeding, discuss some of the different herbicidal options for removal of perennial ryegrass, and introduce the compound flazosulfuron. From there, we'll move on to the materials and methods for this study, followed by results and discussions, research implications, and with the time remaining, I'll entertain any questions that may arise. As Hunter Perry mentioned earlier, perennial ryegrass overseeding is a common practice done throughout the transitional zone. This is done to provide a uniformly green and aesthetically pleasing playing surface throughout the winter months as the warm season turf underneath goes into dormancy. This can be done on a small scale basis just to include fairways and tee boxes, or done on a much larger scale to also include roughs, bunker faces, and green surround complexes. However, it is necessary in the late spring months to remove the perennial ryegrass overseeding as the warm season turf grass underneath begins to break dormancy. Here, turf grass managers often utilize the sulfonylurea or SU herbicide chemical class. These SU herbicides have a mode of action that inhibit acetylactase synthase, which blocks the production of branched chain amino acids, isoleucine, leucine, and valine. Some key physicochemical properties of this group include that they are ionizable compounds, and their water solubility, denoted by the KS value, is relatively high, meaning these compounds will readily move into solution. Also, their partitioning coefficient, denoted by the log KOW, indicate these compounds are relatively lipophobic. Environmental properties of SU herbicides over the family indicate low application rates, so they're fairly safe and non-persistent compounds. And lastly, their soil sorption, denoted by their KD value, is relatively low, meaning that these compounds do not adsorb tightly to native soil colloids. Based on these key physicochemical environmental properties, it's been well documented that SU herbicides can relocate. Studies done by Barker and Askew have reported that perennial ryegrass has absorbed only 48% of rim sulfuron 20 hours after application, and only 25% of flazosulfuron 24 hours after application. This means that there's large amounts of SU herbicides remaining on the leaf surface after application, which can then become dislodged and moved to sensitive species. This can be done through lateral relocation, where it is moved downstream through rainfall, or done through a phenomenon referred to as tracking. And this is where you have a mechanical removal of this product that becomes dislodged on things such as mowing equipment and other things that passes through a treated area. Studies from Barker et al. In 2005 reported that dislodged rim sulfuron via mowing equipment visually tracked across a 2-meter buffer distance onto a sensitive creeping bentgrass putting green. Now allow me to introduce the compound flazosulfuron. This compound was developed by ISK Biosciences Corporation in 1989. Again, it is an SU in the SU herbicide family. Some of its key physicochemical properties, again, include that it is ionizable, with its pKa being 4.37. Its water solubility is relatively high, also again indicating that this compound moves readily into solution. And it is a lipophobic compound, meaning that this herbicide will not readily pass through a cuticular layer once applied to a plant. Environmental properties of this also include very low application rates. Again, its soil sorption coefficient is relatively low, denoted by the KOC, which ranges from 30 to 43 milliliters per gram. And its DT50 time is 13 to 16 days, meaning that this compound is not persistent once applied. Initial studies with flazosulfuron conducted by ISK indicated its potential to injure creeping bentgrass putting greens via foot trafficking. This was done where this trial was conducted in Japan, where an area of zoysia grass near a creeping bentgrass putting green was sprayed one afternoon. The following morning, golfers traversed through this area, and what they noticed a few weeks later was actual footprinting on the creeping bentgrass putting green, where the compound had become dislodged, stayed on their golf shoe, and had moved on to the creeping bentgrass. Based on this unpublished data, the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, proposed a 30-meter buffer distance when this compound was to be applied around sensitive species such as creeping bentgrass. However, we discussed earlier, perennial ryegrass overseeding often goes up in close proximity to creeping bentgrass greens. And with a 30-meter buffer in place, it would make this compound an invalid choice to use in commercial turfgrass systems for removal of ryegrass. So based on this proposed buffer distance, ISK, along with several different turfgrass weed scientists across the southeast, met to discuss some of the different ways that they could test for SU herbicide movement. They wanted to look at key factors such as irrigation, herbicide rate, buffer distances, and days after application that this compound could potentially track. So based on these different key points, they developed their research objective, which was to quantify flazosulfuron movement onto creeping bentgrass greens via foot trafficking. Now moving on to our materials and methods for this trial. Research was conducted in May 2009 at Auburn and Clemson University on Crenshaw creeping bentgrass, also at North Carolina State, the University of Tennessee, and Virginia Tech on Pencross creeping bentgrass. Our data collection utilized percent visual injury taken by the researchers on a 0 to 100% scale, with 0 being 0% plant injury and 100% being complete plant death. At all locations, we also utilized measurements of normalized difference vegetation index. This was done using a Field Scout TCM500 NDVI meter. This was done at all locations, again, to eliminate any experimental error associated with different visual ratings between the researchers. Now moving on to our experimental design, which was a 2x6x3x3 factorial. So within our given trial locations, we utilized two areas, the first being an adjacent turf that bordered in close proximity to a creeping bentgrass putting green. That adjacent turf was divided into two different key zones, the first being a loading zone where the herbicide treatments would be applied, and then also a buffer zone where different tracking distances would take place. Our treatments, our whole plot factor treatment included two rates of irrigation, one receiving 3 millimeters of irrigation prior to each day's tracking event, and the other area receiving no irrigation throughout the duration of the study. The subplot factors included 6 different herbicide rates, 3 of which were flazosulfuron at 9, 26, and 53 grams AI per hectare. We had 2 comparative rates of trifloxysulfuron at 18 and 30 grams AI per hectare, and also a non-treated check. It should also be noted that all these SU herbicides were applied with a non-onyx surfactant at the 0.25% volume by volume ratio. Now let's move on into our sub-subplot factor, which included 3 different tracking dates. So within each herbicide treatment and each different irrigation regime, we had 1, 2, and 3 days after tracking in which this would take place. Our sub-sub-subplot factor included 3 different buffer distances. Within each day, within each herbicide treatment, we had buffer zones of 1.5, 4.6, and 7.6 meters. So the way that this study took place was for each given herbicide treatment and each different irrigation regime, we would take a predetermined 40 strides through our loading zone. This was to dislodge any herbicide that might be remaining on the leaf surface before moving into our given buffer distance. There, according to what meter it was, we took a predetermined number of steps before moving on to our creeping bentgrass green to apply our individual treatments. Again, this is our schematic of how this trial was laid out at North Carolina State University. In the foreground, we have our different loading zones where the researchers would pass through before moving to the background where our buffer distances took place. After moving through our different buffer distances based on that length, we then applied our treatments on our creeping bentgrass area. I should also make a point to put out that any experimental error was tried to minimize between different locations. And just one example of how this was done is that all researchers at every location use the exact same make and model of golf shoe to eliminate any variability that might occur from different tread patterns on the bottom. So again, once we traversed through our different tracking zone, we then moved on to the creeping bentgrass putting green to apply our individual treatments. And based on this factorial design, we had a total of 108 treatments per trial. So due to size limitations at each area, we could only apply 1 replication at each university site. Therefore, we had to take a novel approach to analyzing this data. We decided to treat the entire southeastern United States as our treatment area. Within the southeastern United States, we used our 5 different university locations to be our replication. So the way that this was aligned was our treatment area was the entire southeastern United States, and our 5 different replications took place within each. The studies were then analyzed as a 2x6x3x3 factorial and a randomized complete split plot design. Finally, our analysis of variance was conducted in mixed models, and interactions between the main effects will be reported using Fisher's protected LSD at the P less than 0.05 level. Now moving on to our results and discussions. Allow me a moment to set up this graph as the rest will follow the same format. This is effect of irrigation by herbicide treatment interaction on visible creeping bentgrass injury. It should be noted that this is pulled over three different buffer distances and three different tracking dates. On our y-axis, we have percent visual injury, which was measured on a 0 to 100% scale. However, it should be noted that for this graph, percent visual injury only ranges from 0 to 2% visual injury. On our x-axis, we have our individual rating dates, which were 1, 2, 3, and 4 weeks after treatment. And within that, we have our herbicide treatments and our irrigated, denoted by 3 millimeters, and our non-irrigated turf. Taking your attention to 1 week after treatment, we see no statistical separation among herbicide treatments and different irrigation factors. However, we do see a trend for higher injury with our two highest rates of flazosulfuron and our two comparative rates of trifloxysulfuron. 2 weeks after treatment, this time we do have a statistical separation among treatments, and this time all herbicide rates in the non-irrigated turf had statistically greater injury than all those applied to our irrigated turf prior to tracking. 3 weeks after treatment, again, we have no visible injury, but we do see a trend for higher rates with our comparative trifloxysulfuron applications. 4 weeks after treatment, this time we have statistical separation, but only our highest rate of trifloxysulfuron, again, in our non-irrigated turf, is providing any differences among treatments. This is effect of irrigation by buffer distance interaction on creeping bentgrass NDVI. On our y-axis, we have NDVI, which was measured on a 0 to 1 scale. However, note that just for this graph's purposes, it ranges from 0.7 to 0.78. 1 week after treatment, we'd have a statistical separation in NDVI between our irrigated versus our non-irrigated turf. Here we can see that our shortest buffer distance of 1.5 meters has statistically less NDVI readings than those in the irrigated. A lower NDVI indicates lower absorbance of chlorophyll. This can be then extrapolated to determine creeping bentgrass quality. 2 weeks after treatment, again, we have a statistical separation, again, with our lowest buffer distance of 1.5 meters having our lowest NDVI rating. No difference between treatments 3 weeks after treatment and 4 weeks after treatment. This time we have our highest quality or highest NDVI rating taking place in our longest buffer distance in our non-irrigated turf. So research implications from this trial, we concluded that irrigating prior to foot trafficking reduces flazosulfuron and trifloxysulfuron relocation. Visual injury was the greatest on all herbicide-treated non-irrigated plots 2 weeks after treatment, with injury ranging greater than 1% but less than 2. NDVI indicated buffer distances greater than 4.6 meters are required if treated turf is non-irrigated prior to foot trafficking events. In conclusion, we determined that the intercollegiate collaboration provided both an effective and timely analysis for quantifying sulfonylurea herbicide movement via foot trafficking. And to date, flazosulfuron is now available for commercial turf grass use under the trade name Katana, marketed by the PBI Gordon Company. Lastly, as a side note to conclude, after speaking with the researchers, we do know that foot trafficking is a key point that can take place after application, but we feel that laterally relocated SU herbicides can pose a greater risk of off-target injury than foot trafficking. With that, I would like to thank you for your attention, and I'll entertain any questions if we have time.
We're gonna hold questions, so
thank you.